Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional, a fellow member of the YPO, talking to me from Tuscany, but lives in Rome, Italy, Giovanna Desposito. Giovanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Ash. Thank you.
Giovanna is a senior portfolio director with Wysol Investments. She's the former general manager of Uber for Southern Europe. Giovanna is also a seasoned senior executive with over 30 years of experience, mostly in tech industries. And as I mentioned, she's a fellow member of the YPO. So Giovanna, before we talk technology, tell me about your own amazing journey and your experience in driving innovation and digital transformation.
I'll try to be concise. Thank you. So I'm actually a mechanical engineer by background. So I started my career over 30 years ago, as you said, in a factory, in a Procter & Gamble factory.
Okay.
So I was, you know, in a production line and actually repairing things and making production lines more efficient. So I spent a few years there. Then I got a bit, bored because factory work can be quite repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I decided to leave Italy for the first time. I moved to France and got an MBA at INSEAD Business School. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I moved to London. You know, this were late 90s, early 2000s, where everybody was flocking to London to pursue careers either in investment banking or consulting. And in my case, it was consulting. So
okay.
I've done a few years of strategy consulting, both, you know, for firms as well as a freelancer. Mm. This is how I started working on international expansion, and especially for digitally enabled companies. So I did more and more of, let's say, startups or scale-ups, always looking at how to bring business models outside of the UK abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And that became my key area of focus, of expertise, and most importantly, my key area of enjoyment, I have to say.
Amazing.
So following that path, I moved back to Italy, my home country, after 15 years abroad, in 2011, because I was tasked by a very big gambling and gaming companies, mm-hmm. a public company called Paddy Power, to establish their first international arm in Italy. So I came to Italy and did, let's say, a startup, even though it was very well funded. this was an amazing experience. It is tech, the way I see it, because, you know, it's an online, quite complex platform to build and to manage. I spent 4 years there before the company was then acquired by a bigger group and is now part of Flutter Entertainment, which is the number one, you know, group in the world.
Mm.
At that point, I moved on to establish the Italian arm of another gaming company who again wanted to do international expansion in and starting from Italy. Skybet is the name of the company. So again, we restarted the same process, albeit in very different market context. And about 2.5 years later, this company was then acquired by the same group as the first, you know, mm-hmm. first brand I worked with. I spent some time in Italy as an advisor to digital startups. But shortly afterwards, I moved to Spain. And I moved to Spain in early 2019 with Uber.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the company as general manager for Southern Europe. So I was responsible for 6 markets in the Southern European region, which was an incredible experience, especially because it included 2 years of almost no mobility, you know, with COVID and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So quite the roller coaster. I left Uber last year, with the idea of pursuing a less corporate career, so to speak. And I've been advising Wysol Holding, as you mentioned, on their tech investments, as well as sitting on a few boards.
Hmm.
And that's where I am now.
Fascinating. So let's talk technology then. How has your extensive experience in tech industries shaped your perspective on the evolution of the tech industry?
One thing that one thing we have to say to that is that increasingly, Ash, I think that there's a blurred line between the tech industry and any industry. So, in other words, you know, technology is more and more necessarily embedded into all other industries, all other verticals. Even the more traditional corporates, obviously, are not in a position anymore to ignore. You know, the tools that technology expects companies and consumers to adopt and use. And so more and more my area of expertise, which is technology, is actually applicable to a very wide range, you know, of industries, I would say.
Well said. And what do you think are some of the key challenges and opportunities that you see at the intersection of technology and mobility?
So many is the short answer. And why this? Mobility is, you know, before starting with Uber, I had not fully grasped this. Mobility, really, if you think about it, is at the core of our lives, like on a daily basis, at the core of our personal, even emotional life. That is quite often mobility, you know, whether it's the school run for your children, the work commute, or the goods that you need to move, you know, across the world for personal business reasons, but that actually affects our lives deeply. And therefore, and there's an, a huge economic value, obviously, linked to mobility, especially with trade and, you know, with any industry becoming more and more global. And so it is only natural that innovation and technology, you know, will informs mobility more and more. There are many opportunities, in my view. I'm going to say the abused word AI, but it is true that the use of data and the use of AI has a huge role to play. Because if you think about it, you know what are, in essence, the key elements of mobility? Safety. You know, safety is a big one.
Yeah.
Efficient use of space, of vehicles and energy, you know, and security as well is a part of it. All of these aspects have a lot, you know, to improve, and there's leaps that we can do addressing all of these aspects through data and through AI, you know, there are obvious trends. Shared mobility is obvious and it's well underway. Autonomous, you know, autonomous vehicles are, in my view, inevitable, even though there's, you know, still quite a lot to do, but it's inevitable. But there are even the less sexy parts, you know, how to automate and track the way bills in logistics. There are millions that can be saved just on that tiny thing, which is not so sexy, but it's actually still important.
Well said. Well said. And my next question, Giovanna, is, you know, you've been a, you know, a senior leader in the tech industry. What do you consider the most important qualities for a leader in the tech industry? Or what are some critical factors in leading high performance teams in the tech industry?
Yes. Well, here again, this gets blurred because, you know, leading high-performing tech teams is, you know, is not very different from leading high-performing teams in general. So there are, you know, the I think the usual traits that you would expect. But I would perhaps highlight some traits that are important for any leader, but in tech are even more so. One is global awareness. You know, if you work in tech, chances are that what you do has a global audience. It's a global, you know, does not have geographical boundaries, technology normally. So you have, you know, global consumers, global vendors, and more often a global talent base that actually develops your product. And therefore, there's the regulatory part. So you need to have that global awareness because you need to be aware that what you are doing and the way you are doing it is impacted by, you know, a vast array of and diverse diversity of cultures, languages, regulations, habits, and so on and so forth. So keeping that global awareness is important, number one. Number two, financial acumen. So you say, okay, well, every leader needs to have that. Absolutely. But the reason why I like that is that quite often technology comes with very sizable upfront capex investments that come very early, you know, in the development of your product. And you need to make sure that you deploy that capital in a way that is as agile as possible and as sustainable as possible. And the third factor I would say, which is somewhat linked to this, is customer focus. Again, this is true for everyone, but in tech, we need to be careful that we are not trying to find a problem for our solution, you know, unless we're Steve Jobs, but okay. I will throw a fourth one in there and then I'll stop. And that's ethical leadership.
Correct. Well said.
When you deal with technology, that becomes very important. You know, it's not just because of the societal impact that comes from the use or misuse of technology, but it's also because, so it's, if you say for social reasons, it's also for business reasons. You know, you need to, compliance is not a given. It's not easy. When you handle tech, and again, there's regional differences that you need to, you know, to cater for.
Fantastic. Great response. Thank you. The next question is, how do you approach driving innovation and digital transformation within tech companies?
I think that what you need to do is everything that you do, and a bit like we were saying before, you have to do it only because it solves a problem or creates a gain. So this is true for your customers, as we were saying before, but it's also true for your talent, you know, and your teams to adopt or to try and push inside a company, especially if it's a big company, a new tool, a new methodology, just because it's cool or hype doesn't necessarily create value. So I would say you need to be careful about that. At the same time, keep an inquisitive mind and actually, you know, facilitate for your team to keep that same inquisitive mind. One tactics that can be used is, you know, is the use of external vendors. You should not overdo it because, of course, you know, you don't want to outsource core assets, whether they're intangible or tangible. You know, you want to outsource that. But, you know, to find the right balance and involve external vendors can help in keeping fresh, you know, and don't become crystallized in what you do.
Very interesting. My next question is that you worked in large companies and you mentioned you also worked in startups. What are the key differences and similarities between working in a corporate and a startup environment?
The boundaries are blurring. Sorry, I'm using this word a lot to a certain extent. But I would say that the key differences are mostly around speed of decision making, closeness to customers. You know, tech companies tend to be generally closer, you know, because they need that constant feedback from customers in order to reiterate on their product. And lastly, I have to say the average level of personal engagement from the team. You know, when you're working on something that is innovative and is challenging, that tends to be higher. What are the key similarities? I think that increasingly we all need to have this international outlook and understand what's going on around us and how the context around us is, you know, is affecting what we do. I would highlight that one.
Very interesting. The next two or three questions, Giovanna, are about for you personally. My next question is, how has your multilingual and multicultural background influenced your tech career?
Ash, most of my career has revolved around this concept of international expansion, of taking an existing model or new model and see how it can be localized and adopted and adapted in different contexts from the one where it started. And so I've done a lot of work on that, both as a consultant and then with the roles that that I've had in the last 20 years or so. Most of that has been in Southern Europe, Italy, or generally Southern Europe, where those differences in language, habits, laws are actually quite acute, not just at national level, but within the same national, even at regional level. When it comes to mobility like Uber, even at municipality level, you have some differences. And so I would say that the fact that I've lived in four countries, my family, there are three different citizenships and languages in my family, my children hold three passports. That has been at the core of everything that I've done. I will be nowhere, without that international outlook, and
Absolutely.
I enjoy it thoroughly.
And have you been able to leverage your understanding of business diversity in your career effectively?
I would say it's been the number one driver, of my career and my choices. And I think that mostly it has shaped my ability to listen. And listen is listening to your customers, listening to your team members, listening, to shareholders, to your board, to the regulators. But I would say that's where I see the most impact of my personal background.
Very interesting. The next question is, what are your thoughts on the societal and behavioral aspects of technology adoption?
Okay, so we need another two podcasts for this.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a big one. So much can be said, right? And there's so much to be said about the economic impact of, for example, that comes from digital divide or comes from the impact of technology acceleration on the job market, how it influences the jobs that we do are not able to do, how it influences the educational system, and the whole dilemma around skilling, upskilling, and how you keep at pace with that. So there's loads. Personally, I think that what's mostly top of my mind is how the acceleration of technology has and the pace at which it has changed our norms, our basically the cultural shift. This is the word I'm looking for. So the cultural shift, technology has reshaped cultural norms, values, our practices. It has changed how you can communicate, the language we use, how quickly we absorb new concepts and how quickly we react to those and how we interact with other human beings. And frankly, this is top of my mind, and it's top of my mind as a concern. There's many opportunities clearly, and it helps many people in that respect. But the reason why it is a concern is that I don't think that I, as a person with responsibility, as a parent, as a potential, as an educator, therefore, and as a business leader, have responsibility. But I don't think that I'm equipped. I don't think I have tools to really grasp, how this cultural shift has impacted how my children think and how my young talent thinks. And I don't necessarily think that, that other people that hold responsibility have that grasp, starting from our governments. So how do we understand that, and how do we support the young generations in handling those really, really, really rapid shifts?
Right.
How it affects their mental health and their choices is something that is constantly top of my mind. I don't have the answers, but it's a debate that I'm always very happy to hold.
Very interesting. So, do you want to have time for two more questions? My next question is, how do you approach risk management in tech investments?
Okay. Right. This is the engineer in me now. This is me being an engineer. This is how I normally, approach this. Starting by saying that effective risk management is absolutely pivotal for success, given the quantum that typically, is involved with tech investments. So, I try and follow a quite a disciplined mental process. So, I engage with the stakeholders, identify potential risks, and I try and classify them into categories like technical, financial, or operational. This would be my main one. And then, for each one, I try and assess the probability of that risk factor, materializing, as well as the impact. And then the next step is to develop specific strategies with a prioritization exercise that comes from probability and impact. And then you develop specific strategies, including contingency plans. And ultimately, when you talk about tech, it's always about that concept of keeping agile. You are an expert on this. I think you wrote a book about it. And so, how you keep in how you build a modular approach, for example, to allow, for adaptability, always becomes a key risk of the de-risking exercise. Sorry, a key aspect of the de-risking exercise.
Well said. And my last question to you, based on your vast experience in technology, what are some of the most exciting tech trends you see in the next 4 to 5 years?
Okay. This is also a very beautiful question. I will not say the word generative AI. Let's leave that
Okay,
on
yes.
the side.
That's been much
Let's leave it.
used.
Absolutely. So right. I think that the there are some things that that I'm not an expert in at all and don't have anything to do with, let's say, my business focus, but do touch me as an individual, on a personal level, and it's quite specific. And the two areas of application, one is about healthcare, and the other one is about efficient use of natural resources. In healthcare, there's so much that is going on, and everything that is being done around longevity and how you handle chronic disease and all of this. But out of all of this, one branch that I think is so interesting is regenerative medicine. So how you recreate cells or tissues or organs that need repairs, the 3D printing of organs that can replace transplants, all of that area of regeneration, I find it fascinating. And then, I mentioned efficient use of natural resources. I'm talking to you from a house in Tuscany that I recently bought with a very nice piece of land. And I wish that, we get to a point where we can use the land that we have and the water that we have in a very smart and efficient way. We're still growing. We are set to grow, I think, up to 11 billion on this planet before we start plateauing. So there's that, the natural resources at our disposal are, for a number of reasons, more and more scarce. How do we put to the best use of technology, and make sure that we still thrive, as humankind, as I think is a vast area, and it's promising, and I do wish that we keep investing in that.
Very well said. And on that note, Giovanna, and your wonderful thoughts of the future, looking at regenerative medicine and efficient use of natural resources. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own amazing journey, about how you have really transitioned from a P&G to so many different industries to now looking at technology and as an investment banker, if I can use that term. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of technology. I learned many new things from you today. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor, Ash. Really an honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world.
Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.